Leadership is Doing by Pamela J. Newman. Read for you by Pamela Dillman. The views expressed in this book are those of the author and do not reflect the official policy or position of the Department of the Army, the U.S. Department of Defense, DOD, or the U.S. government. The appearance of U.S. DOD visual information does not imply or constitute DOD endorsement. This book is dedicated to Sari Rudman, Chief of Staff at PJN Strategies. She is one of the people who shows the other people how. Introduction. What generally stops people from being leaders is the fear of doing. People often fear doing. I was surprised when my loving and lovely daughter-in-law, Shannon, recently told me I had said something to her she has found particularly useful to remember. Shannon is a highly accomplished private wealth banker by experience and a highly effective wife and mother of three wonderful children. I had to wonder what I could have said to her that she would have found so compelling. "Shannon," I said, "what did I say?" She said, "You told me that people often don't do things, make things happen, create change, and deliver results because they fear getting started doing." I had to laugh when Shannon said this to me. In fact, I was told this by Shannon while visiting her in La Jolla, California. Actually, the trip to nearby San Diego had started to seem overwhelming to me to consider taking in the days before the departure from New York City. I had started to see real and imagined obstacles to making the trip. For example, I didn't think I could wake up early enough in the morning, both to conduct my required exercise program and catch an 8 a.m. flight out of JFK Airport. Who could take care of my dog, Mandarin Joey, and my cat, Champagne Buttercup? Could I afford to be away from my work responsibilities? Fortunately, I stopped thinking about the trip and started executing it. I selected and sent by mail the gifts for the grandchildren. I woke up an hour earlier than usual on the day of departure and easily did my routine exercise program before departing for the airport. I picked projects I hadn't tackled but needed to do, like finishing writing this book, to take with me and work on while on the plane. I started organizing for the trip and was now on the trip. This personal and simple description of taking a family trip to see people I greatly love in a town that some consider paradise might not strike you as the apotheosis of leadership. However, it is a good story for understanding that leadership is doing. Doing begets doing. Doing begets leadership. Also, a hard thing to do is to write a book on leadership that works for everyone. It is hard to think of what I want to write about, how to say it, and then to sit down and write it. Like planning and executing a trip, the thinking about what to say and write often slows down and even stops the execution of writing the book. It is so much easier to find something else to do than write a book. Once I have made a plan for a book, like making a plan for a trip, the execution of the plan is both manageable and enjoyable. Leaders like to make things happen. This book is a series of short vignettes about moments of leadership as defined as moments of doing. I decided on this topic of leadership because, as a civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army, CASA, for the South Region of New York, I have been fascinated by the outstanding capability of the U.S. Army to instill the concept of doing into the Army citizen. Some people describe this as discipline. Others describe it as being prepared. I describe the doing as the backbone of what leadership is about. Leaders are people who are trained how to do, cultivate doing in their lives, and when they find themselves in extraordinary circumstances, are able to execute what becomes known as acts of heroism. My other daughter-in-law, Mary, also demonstrated the meaning of leadership is doing when we found ourselves in a family squabble. "Come," she said to all of us, "let's form the friendship of love circle, and then we can work out this dispute." This simple act of leadership, of getting a loving family, huddling and hugging each other, took the prickle out of the discussion and allowed a rational game plan to be in place. Mary is not only beautiful and loving, she is a doer, a leader. Please enjoy the simple but powerful vignettes that support the theme and title of this book, Leadership is Doing. Leadership is Doing, axiom number one. Visualize the outcome. I recently met with Dr. Gary Wyron, one of the most heralded and respected professionals in the world of golf. Gary earned a master's degree from the University of Michigan and a doctorate from the University of Oregon in sports science. Gary believes in the power of visualization. I concur with Gary's thinking about visualization. As a child in Kalamazoo, Michigan, I visualized myself living in an apartment in New York City. I had no idea what an apartment in New York City looked like. I had no reason to think I would ever live in New York City. I, in fact, had never been to New York City. Yet I have lived these last several decades in a wonderful apartment in the middle of New York City. The outcome I visualized was achieved. Leadership is doing, axiom number two. Refuse to tolerate prejudice. Every time we are with others and hear a racial, ethnic, or religious slur, I suggest we interrupt the conversation and say, "I am not comfortable with denigrating any group or individual." We are living, at the writing of this book, in an era where racial and religious incidents in the United States have more than doubled over 1 year ago. Places of worship have seen a flurry of active shooter events. Schools, retail stores, and entertainment centers now must think about how to protect their environment from hate mongers. We can never forget our American principle of equality. We must practice the premise of equality always. We must speak out when people ignore the basic premise of equality. I recently had a fun and funny experience. I was having my regular Christmas Eve dinner at a restaurant with the Wangs. Ed Wang was born in America. His wife, the beautiful Sophia, was born in China. Their two children, Ed Jr. and Alexander, have been in my life since they were very young. A man at a neighboring table from ours walked over to our table. He had clearly observed how tight-knit we were as a unit. He asked, "Are you a family?" "Yes, indeed we are," Ed responded without hesitating. The man shook his head at us while he tried to absorb how incredulous this concept was for him. After he left our table, Ed looked at me and said the obvious. "By now, we are family." Families, Ed realized, are no longer simply based on bloodlines. Prejudice is simply out of date for who we are today. Leadership is doing, axiom number three. Stand up for what is correct. A remarkable story is told about standing up for what is correct in the book G.I. Jews, authored by Deborah Dash Moore. The book tells the story of about 500 American prisoners of war who were put in a prisoner of war camp in Germany during World War II. A German officer in charge of the prisoner of war camp told the American battalion leader in charge of the 500 U.S. soldiers that he needed to have all the Jewish American soldiers at the camp ready and lined up the next morning for removal. The battalion commander, though painfully young and himself a Protestant, instead lined up all 500 soldiers in his battalion the next morning. When the German officer saw everybody lined up in the whole prisoner of war camp, he implored the battalion commander, "Why don't you just line up the 11 Jewish soldiers as I so ordered you?" The American battalion commander responded, "Sir, we are all Jews." With that response, the German officer took his pistol and placed it right on the forehead of the U.S. battalion commander. He then said to him, "I'm going to blow off your head and everyone else's in this camp." The battalion commander may have flinched, but his answer came quickly. "Sir, you can murder me and these 500 prisoners of war, but the war is about over, and this action of you killing me and 500 others will mean that my country will hunt you down and make you a prisoner of war." The German officer reluctantly dropped his gun and walked away. The battalion commander never talked about this extraordinary feat of courage when he returned home to the Midwest, until the author of the book, G.I. Jews, did her research, this story was not well known. I would like to see a blog where people report on the blog stories about people who do things because it is the correct thing to do. Doing the correct thing takes courage, extra energy, perseverance, risk-taking, and a fundamental belief that right is right. Leadership is doing axiom number 4. Put your own needs aside. David Fitzgerald, a friend and decorated Army veteran, told me that although he was a recipient of the Bronze Star Medal, he never let his own ego become more important than his practice of caring about his soldiers first and foremost. He described the story of a soldier in Iraq getting first lost and then ultimately kidnapped by the Taliban, and eventually found dead. While the soldier was not part of David's battalion, he says he is still haunted daily by wondering what happened that allowed a soldier, any soldier, from having had this ever happen. David points out that the Army constantly attempts to improve how they do things by conducting an after-action review, which is a step-by-step examination of what happened on every engagement. David says that, to this day, even in his civilian life, he says to himself, "Am I doing everything that I am supposed to be doing? My number one thing to do is think more about others than myself." Once you put your own needs aside, you can become more effective at what you are doing. My dad taught me to feed my troops before I feed myself. Thinking about others first is a great way to 1. Reduce depression, 2. Create purpose, 3. Give back, 4. Improve what gets done. Leadership is doing axiom number 5. Plan what you need to do. David Fitzgerald, a good friend who spent 30 years in the U.S. Army, who I talk about in axiom number 4, taught me a phrase about the importance of planning, which I have never forgotten. Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. The importance of planning cannot be overemphasized. Here are a few suggested tips on planning I strongly endorse. 1. Write down the what, when, how of your plan. I just bought a 10-year calendar. I want my calendar for the next 10 years to reflect my goals and objectives for the next 10 years. If my goal is to be more physically fit, then my calendar should reflect a great deal of inserts to reserve time for exercise. 2. Have the right tools, supplies, equipment to execute your plan. Anyone who travels frequently learns and applies the principles of planning to travel. The frequent traveler knows preparation for travel requires having a collection of luggage so that the size of the suitcase is compatible with the length of the trip. She knows to have essentials organized for travel, such as electrical plugs for different countries, cords for phones and tablets, prescriptions and backup eyeglasses. I keep a list of frequently needed travel supplies that I always consult and take with me when I travel. My list includes my date of trip, location, special needs, passport, ticket, boarding pass, itinerary, backup printed copy of my passport, contact lenses and an extra pair of contact lenses, glasses, phone chargers, cords for tablets and phones, medications, first aid items, electric plugs, life goals and my 10-year calendar, hand sanitizers, masks, gloves. Even when not traveling, I make a weekly list describing what am I going to wear every day that week? Where am I going to have dinner each night of the week? what I want to discuss in the many conversations I expect to have each week. I actually prepare an agenda and send it ahead of time to the person or people with whom I am meeting for every appointment. Here is a sample agenda. PJN Strategies, Draft Agenda. Date, October 1st, 2020. Time, 10 a.m. Location, Office of PJN Strategies, LLC, United Nations Plaza. Attendees, PJN Strategies, LLC, Pamela J. Newman, President and CEO, David J. Katz, Managing Director, XYZ Company, President, CFO. Discussion items. Tell me about your business. What obstacles do you face? How can we help you go and grow? Next steps. I plan over the course of 10 years what I can do for others, trips I want to take, family excursions and events, dinner parties, subjects I want to study, changes in my behavior I want to make. A chart gives examples of these plans. Under the heading Undertaking, I write Trips to Take. Under the heading Example, I write Israel. Under the heading Obstacle, I write How to Learn as Much as Possible While There About the History of Israel. And under the heading Action, I write Selecting an AIPAC trip last November where lectures and learning opportunities were provided morning, afternoon, and evening. And again, under the heading Undertaking, I write Family Excursions. Under the heading Example, My Big Birthday. Under the heading Obstacle, selecting a date the whole family could be there. And under the heading Action, not letting my actual birthday date stand in the way of the goal of the whole family being there. And finally, another example under the heading Undertaking, I write Study. Under the heading Example, I write Learning the History of Israel. Under the heading Obstacle, I write Have the time to read 12 books on Israel. And under the heading Action, I write I downloaded 7 of the 12 books I obtained on my audio app and listened to them while exercising. Some of the most useful life planning I have done is listed here. 1. Planning for years 60 through 100. Our schools do not spend enough time helping people realize that their lives might outlast their money, their health, and their family. Plans and backup plans reduce the stress of managing this stage of life. Chuck Stetson has taught me the goal of squaring the curve, which means having every decade of life get better than the previous one. Live until you are 100 and simply die one night in your sleep. 2. Planning your funeral and burial site. Creating your will, bequeathing of possessions, and memorializing funeral and burial preferences reduces family stress and uncertainty. 3. Taking advantage of resources that mitigate life interruption. How would you pay your bills if you lost your job? How would you manage long-term care for you and/or a family member? Planning, as a leadership tool, is a major differentiator of people who let life happen to them instead of having their lives match their dreams.